This podcast contains strong language and adult themes, so if that's not your cup of tea, go and find something else. But if it is, then we're happy to have you. So welcome. Da 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 da. Sing it at the. I'm Holly, I'm single and I live in Manchester.
And I'm Jess, I'm a married mum of two and live in Devon.
Despite our differences, we are still the best of friends and we have been since the day we were born.
So welcome to our podcast, Two Kids and a Best Friend, where we discuss everything from night feeds to nights out, pop culture, embarrassing stories and confessions.
I've got to talk to you about this. So I am re-obsessed with Bridgerton at the minute. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I've watched Bridgerton, obviously. I don't live under a rock.
So I'm re-watching the series at the minute before the new one comes out. Because, you know, sometimes when a new series comes out and it's been so long, you kind of forget what happened in the plot lines, don't you? So I'm re-watching it at the moment and I am just obsessed. Like, I wish I was born in that era. Do you know what pisses me off the most is what a life those women had? Like, come of age, then they go off into a season and can choose a rich husband to marry. And then their life is basically, they don't have to work. They just host balls, host things, have tea. Like, what a fucking life.
I know. I will say, though, I don't feel like it's historically accurate. Guarantee all the men didn't look like that, and I'm sure the women didn't look like that, and they probably all had syphilis
and they probably all married like 50 year old men, didn't they, at 18?
Yeah, the Duke of Hastings would not have looked like that. Put it that way. And you know what happens when they leave syphilis for too long?
What?
People's noses fell off.
What? How does that even happen? Isn't syphilis in your genitals?
History fact check. Okay, so an after effect of congenital syphilis is the typical saddle nose depression. So basically, your nose just collapses and falls off your face. But they often get lesions on their face and skin.
Oh,
so it's like
God.
Big ulcers. So
and
that's
was that
what,
a thing back then?
Yeah,
syphilis?
Back then, yeah. So really, it wasn't as glamorous as Bridgerton makes out to be. Because often they'd go away for war or whatever, shag girls all around wherever they were,
bring it back to their wife. And let's be honest, if we were actually born in that era, we wouldn't be like the fucking Bridgertons. We'd be like the ladies' maids, wouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly. And they all probably stank of BO.
Yeah, you don't think about stuff like that, do you?
Well, I do, to try and make myself less jealous when I'm watching Bridgerton.
I just watching it and I'm like oh the dresses, like, look at all these men. Daphne's choosing between a duke and a prince. Like, what a life.
I know. My only criticism of season two was that it wasn't as horny as season one.
No.
I was watching it thinking that I was going to get a bit of excitement. And
yeah.
Compared to the first season.
It was very tame, wasn't it? I'm hoping we get a bit more with Colin and Penelope in the next season.
Yeah.
Apparently there's some kind of sexy scene with a mirror or something. So I'm quite excited about that.
You never see a period drama like that that is a bit risque. So when we all started
yeah.
watching it, first series came out on Christmas Day a
yes,
few years
I remember.
Back. And I remember watching it after, feeling all sluggish after my roast and that. Next thing you know, I was sat upright in my chair trying to find the remote to switch it off because I was watching it with my mother. And I thought, oh my God, I cannot watch this around you.
I love the dresses. Like, wouldn't you love to get up and like walk around in a dress like that all day?
Well, you know I love Luana, the
yeah.
podcast. Louisa Zisman is up for her birthday because, you know, she lives in an absolute mansion.
Yeah.
This year for her birthday party, she's having a Bridgerton-themed party.
Well, she lives a bit like that Bridgerton life. She can hold a ball.
Imagine going to a Bridgerton theme at a millionaire's house like that with all the decorations, all the costumes. You just know it's going to be amazing.
We should do that for our 30th birthday, but I mean, down the local social club ain't going to have the same effect, is it?
So what else has been going on with your week then?
So I need to tell you, I've had a bit of beef this week.
What's your beef? What's your beef? That should be our new segment. We should call it "What's Your Beef?" Because
what's your beef?
Last week I had beef. This week you are having beef.
Let's be honest. One of us probably has beef.
Beef every week.
So, as much as people may think that I'm the type that likes a bit of confrontation, unless it's with Ollie, it's only him I'm up for it. But like, I feel like
or me.
Yeah, you, I can, you know. Don't you think, like, if me and you were to go on a night out, it's you who would be, like, arguing with someone, not me. Yeah, not me, is it? I'd, like, shit myself.
She'd go, Holly, that girl just had a go at me, and then you'd leave me to deal with the repercussions.
Honestly, it would be like that thing, what's that TikTok, where it's, like, when you hear your friend say, like, what are you fucking looking at, or something like that.
What did you just say to her?
So... it was with a dentist receptionist.
Oh, God. And
can I say she made me cry, which I'm actually a bit ashamed about.
It's usually, I've never had issues with a dentist receptionist, but I have had beef with GP receptionists. And I know that they've got a difficult job.
I feel like they're looking for a fight.
They are sniffing you out. They look at your notes and think, who is most ill? Who's most vulnerable that I could have my way with?
So anyway, this is what happened. So in January, I went for... So my dentist, for a bit of background, was an NHS dentist. And then at the beginning of this year, they sent everyone out a letter. They're going private, of course. And they were going private from the 1st of April. So I quickly booked in for my checkup before it went private. So I got in, had a checkup. They did a little bit of treatment or whatever. And I paid for a band one treatment, which was £25. So I had a phone call last week to say... I had a missed call to say, we charged you for a band one, but we should have actually charged you for a band two. So you owe us like 50, 60, 70 quid or something. So I was like, for fuck's sake, like I'm getting paid zero this month. I could really do without paying that. And then I realized that I shouldn't have even paid for dental treatment anyway, because I have maternity exemption. Now I thought that only went up to... when you give birth, like I thought it's when you were pregnant, but actually it's for a year after as well. So, you know, all confidently ring up the dentist and the woman answers. So I say, hello, I've had a missed call. Like, you know, you put on your phone voice, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, I've had a missed call about a payment. My name's Jessica White, blah, blah, blah. I actually realised that I have a maternity exemption certificate, so I shouldn't have paid anyway. So I just thought I'd ring and let you know. Oh, well, you never told us this at the time, so no, we can't accept that now. And I went, why not? Sorry, it's just because I didn't realise. Well, you didn't inform us at the time. There is no way we can backdate this now, so you have to pay. Oh, in looking here, you're not even a member here anymore. And I went, well, what does that matter? Because the treatment was in January when I was private.
Yeah, and you just called me.
Yeah. And she went, well, there's nothing we can do now. So then, you know, when you don't know what to say. So I went, oh, well, that's a bit silly because obviously I have an exemption, so I'm exempt. She went, well, like I said, you did not inform us at the time. So there is nothing I can do now. So you have to pay. And I just went, right, well, I don't actually have my card on me at the moment. So she goes, well, you need to ring back in the next couple of days and pay. So I hung up the phone and then I just started crying because, you know, like when like you're in school and you get in trouble by the teacher and you cry, like that is how I felt. And I was like, God, Jess, you're a 27-year-old married mum of two and you're sat here crying. And I was a bit embarrassed.
Who is it that I need to sort out then? Who do I need to see? Because that's made me livid.
So I don't
know
her name. So I then, probably like Karen. The anger... yeah, probably Karen. So then the anger comes over me and I'm like, so I start Googling, can dentists backdate this, blah, blah, blah. And obviously I don't find anything. So then I'm like, right, I need to write a complaint. So I Google the dentist and there's no email. There's only a phone. So now I'm thinking I'm going to ring back and I'm going to say, firstly, could I please have the complaints procedure? And as ask them for the complaints procedures and inform them that I'm going to be writing a complaint. And then I went on Google and I read the reviews, and the most latest review was a woman saying, love the dentist, but the two receptionists are horrible. So I went to write a review, but I was logged into our Gmail, which then says the Holly podcast. Clemens.
Oh, yeah.
So I started writing a review and then it said Holly Clemens, and I thought, oh, shit. Can't do that in her name.
So, do you know what? You do it in my name. I don't care.
So I am going to do a complaint. And what I did do is ring up the number on my maternity exemption certificate, spoke to a really lovely lady and explained what happened. And she was like, I've never heard of that before. So she's basically sent me a form to say, so I can claim back costs. So what I'm going to do is I haven't geared myself up for it yet. I'm not brave enough, but I'm going to ring back and say, oh, I've spoken to the NHS actually, and they've said that to pay it and we'll be claiming it back from you. But I need to say it in like a, I need to gear myself up. Yes. Yes, you should do it for me, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I'll be able to do it for you. I don't care.
Oh my God, yes, let's do this.
This really irks me because before I became a journalist, I spent years working in customer-facing roles. Yes, I didn't deal with the NHS pressures or whatever, but I'm sorry, have you ever worked for Estee Lauder during the Christmas rush when you've got people effing and jeffing at you? I was next! All right, love, calm down, you'll get your double wear. It was absolute hell on earth. I had people make me cry on the shop floor.
Did
not
you?
Just there, when I worked in House of Fraser and all that as well. Kicking off about stuff. And I was always nice to people, no matter what intense pressure I was under and people being horrible. I was always nice.
Well,
manners,
yeah,
cost nothing. Cost nothing to be nice. Like, that was me working a minimum wage job in retail. And then when I was a receptionist, I used to work for a property company. Had people ringing up, shouting on the phone and stuff. And again, when I worked in the newsroom, answering the phone all day. And I used to say, if you're going to speak to me like that, I'm not going to speak to you. I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
But I was always nice and polite to people, so that it really annoys me to hear this because I just think if you're going to have an attitude, you shouldn't work in a customer
facing
role. And
that's the thing,
role.
Even if it is a thing that they could not pay me back, she did not need to shout at me and get angry at me. She just needed to genuinely say, I'm so sorry, there's nothing I can do. There's no way we can backdate this. Maybe why don't you speak to the exemption people? Like, do you know what I mean? That's what I would be like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's like they are looking for a fight. She loved the fact that I said that because she was raring to go at me to tell me it can't be done and I've got to pay, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not going into your fucking pocket, love. Why do you care if I pay or not?
Don't worry, I'll sort her out. I'll ring her up.
We'll sort this out.
Don't worry. Mummy to the rescue, me. Talking about people that are miserable. Usually, you know, it's people in Zara, people that work in Zara that are usually miserable, aren't they? You see all those memes.
So intimidating.
Those videos, people taking the mic. However, my story for you this week, I'd just been in town to get my nose filler top up, and I I looked like Rudolph. People were looking at me, but I thought, oh, I'm here now. I'll quickly nip in Zara and get what I need to get. Anyway, so I'm in there listening to my music. As you know, I don't have AirPods. I've just got like one headphone hanging like in from my ear. And I was wearing probably an outfit that was Zara vibes. I'm rummaging through the jeans to the back because obviously my size is no longer at the top of the pile. It's towards the bottom of the pile. And through all those years of working in retail, like when we worked in the Argyle shop, Plymouth Argyle Football Club shop, and we'd spend hours rolling all the scarves up just for someone to come along and lift it up and fling it down, and it used to really wind us up.
No, don't, because I do that now. Like, I'm really, but I am awful now. I'll just, like, something to drop on the floor and I'll leave it there.
But I'm the opposite, because I think so long working in retail, I'm like, oh, no, I've got to fold it back to how it was. So this woman caught me just as I was putting it all back down. And she went, excuse me. She had like a pair of trousers that she was holding. She went, excuse me. I've just found this here plonked on a random rail, but I want to know where they actually are because I'd really quite like to get them in my size. Do you know where they are? And I just sort of looked at her
She thought you worked there.
Stunned. And I think she saw me turn around with my giant swollen nose. Her eyes sort of started to look at me really quizzically, like as if to be like, have I messed up here? Does she work here? And then I just went, I'm really sorry. I don't actually work here, but I have looked at those trousers just now myself. So they're just around there, around the corner. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She went, but thanks. I went, see, it was worth an ask anyway, wasn't it? Absolutely worth an ask. But it just gave me a giggle. I thought, maybe it's because I looked miserable. She thought I worked there.
Yeah, probably. Look at that stuck up bitch. So last night, I went to watch Sam Thompson and Pete Wicks in their Staying Relevant show in Plymouth.
Was it good?
It was good. And do you know what? I was sat there waiting for it to start and I thought, it's going to be me and Holly one day. No, we fucking wish.
What fate got that we haven't got? They've just got more money and celebrity. It could be us one day.
I can see us up there now, selling out arenas. I almost wanted to go up and like slip a note to them and be like, listen to our podcast, try and promote it. The second part was just like where it went off like script a little bit because you never know what's going to happen. But The most annoying thing was there was these two girls on the front row who kept like shouting things out, like trying to get involved heckling, yeah. And it was just like cringe, you know, when you like die inside a little and you think shut up, and Pete literally kept saying to them like shut the fuck up. And then and then in the end, like, you've seen members of production go over and tell them like to stop shouting or whatever, because it does like interrupt them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At the end they allowed questions from the crowd. And he was like, this is always a risky thing because you never know what you're gonna get. So the first lady stands up. She had already gone up to, I don't know why they went to this lady, she'd already gone to the front of the stage because when she was coming back with a drink to try and get their attention, and then they actually gave her a shot and she did it. So anyway, they give the mic to her and she goes, hi, like Sam and Pete, this is my friend Claire. She has not had a shag in 2 years. Pete, we've come out tonight for one thing only, and that's your cock or dick or something like that. Everyone was just like, oh my God. She was just like going on like, you know, she needs a good seeing to. Will you shag her later? Or like all stuff like this. And I was like,
how do people have the balls? You need to get her to ring the dentist for you.
So then the microphone goes to the next person and I think, what the fuck? Like, are they really giving it to another person? Because someone's just stood up and said, Pete, we want your cock, like, on a microphone out loud. So then the next ones are, like, really annoying girls. So then they give the microphone to them and they go, can we take body shots off you? Like that. And you could just see Pete, like, probably, like, was there, like, for fuck's sake. And Sam was a little bit pissed. So apparently he doesn't drink much and he kept drinking. And Pete said, like, I swear on my mum's life, he does not drink, like, ever. So, like, Sam
kept
drinking.
Those girls at the front probably drove him to it.
Probably. So yeah. Anyway, he's like, yeah, come on up, blah, blah, blah. I don't think Pete knew what a body shot was. So then Sam takes his top off. Pete was like, nah, I'm too mic'd up. I can't do it. Like, you know, he's thinking, I'm not fucking doing that. So anyway, they basically get these two girls up on stage and Sam gets his top off and Pete tries pouring it down him. And Sam's like, no, you got to lay down, like thinking Pete's gonna put a shot glass on him and like people do it. Pete just pours the like shot on Sam's stomach and these two girls basically suck it up. Like, honestly,
poor Sam Thompson, he's probably gonna get syphilis now and his nose is gonna fall off.
Celebrity gossip of the week.
I've been dying to talk about this, absolutely dying. So my favorite TikToker, Nara Smith, the one that is a model who's married to Lucky Blue Smith, the model, and gorgeous couple, absolutely stunning. She first came to my attention because she'd go, she makes those TikToks like, my kids today have said that they really want a grilled cheese sandwich. So here's me making a
Wait,
grilled cheese sandwich.
Wait, is that her who makes everything from scratch? So I saw her make cereal from scratch the other day. I didn't even know you could do that.
No, me neither. So if she's making them a grilled cheese, as they call it, we call it cheese toastie over here. She'll make
is
the bread.
Is that what it is? I've always wondered. A grilled cheese sandwich. Is that just a cheese toastie?
Yeah. Come on,
Why
Tess.
Do they always look so much better in America, though?
Probably because in America they use far more yeah. fattening ingredients. Everything's better. So she makes the bread from scratch. She'll churn the butter herself to make the butter. She'll make her own mozzarella and makes it all from scratch just to give to like a two-year-old. Just to give it to a two-year-old. She's like, oh yeah, my kids really wanted this. And then she'll spend like 2 days making one like meal for them. And I think to myself, obviously, I'm not a parent. I'm not a mother. So who am I to comment? But I'm sorry, who's got the time?
I chuck pouches at Ella. Like, there is no way I'm scratch making. I remember when I had George... and I bought like the recipe book, and for about 2 weeks I bought all this stuff to put like stuff that I was blending in the freezer and I could unfreeze it, and now I just use those for ice cubes because
I was gonna say Ruby has it, those frozen bits are still in the freezer 4 years later.
I did it for like 2 weeks, like blending actual vegetables. I don't know why. And then I realized that you could just buy it all in pouch form. So that is what I do. And with Ella now, she'll either have what we're having for tea. And if we're having something that she can't really have, in goes a pouch.
Anyway, so Nara Smith has just had her baby. So has released another video. Now, obviously, her husband's name is Lucky Blue Smith. So, obviously, that's already quite... I mean, it's not a normal name, is it? It's not your run-of-the-mill name. It's probably never going to get a keyring with his name on it when he goes on holiday.
Wasn't that the most exciting thing when you were a kid? Going up to one of those... Because they're always on, like, a spinny thing, aren't they? And you spin them around and you
Oh, it's my name there. Even if you know full well you're not going to buy one, you've already got one at home. It was a little bit... Before Instagram, it was the validation that you needed to know that you're worthy of having a keyring. And it used to really wind me up when it would be... They would have Holly with an IE, but not Holly with a Y.
Yes.
Because that just won't do. So she says at the start of the video, just for context, she says, these were the names that we were thinking of using for our next baby. Obviously, she's here now. These are the ones that we've decided not to go with. So we thought, you know, I'd say them. She went, just for some context, my current kids' names are Rumble Honey Smith and Slim Easy Smith.
Slim Easy.
Yeah, so she was like, so obviously we're not going to have, you know, normal names. So our baby we've now named Whimsy Lou Smith. So
Whimsy.
So I looked in the comment section and someone said, Rumble Honey and Slim Easy, are you trying to raise rappers? And then they said, oh, how about if it's twins, call them Apple Bottom Jeans and Boots with the Fur. So she said, the other names that we quite liked were fruit names. So she said, we liked the name Lemon, Plum, Clementine, which actually I quite like because Louise Zisman's daughter's called Clementine and they call her Clemmy, and I think that's really cute.
I only know Clementine off the Walking Dead game. There's a Clementine on that and that she's like the main character.
Good girl. But yeah, I quite like Clementine, so I let her off for that. Ivy, but Ivy I feel like is a fairly common name now. I love
How
it.
Do you go from Rumble and Slim and then add an Ivy in there?
I know, right. Halo for a boy. And she also said she liked the name Beau as a second name, but Beau as in B-O-W.
And then
And then for boy names as well, Dusk, Dew, D-E-W. And Mercer and Flick.
Maybe she watches The Walking Dead because there's a Mercer on there too.
Really? So Mercer and Mercer and Clementine.
Maybe they're Walking Dead fans.
So then I thought, I think I've seen this girl before talk about her names that she would like to use for a girl. Oti, Pepper, Dawn. Dawn, I feel like, is a popular woman's name.
Dawn.
Bubble. As a middle name.
Bubble.
Cherry. Yeah, Bubble.
Cherry is like a fucking stripper name.
Yeah, and Pear. But don't worry, she said that her husband wasn't so keen on Cherry as a second name. I'm guessing Bubble was fine, though. And then for boys' names, Frosty.
Shut up.
Sunny. Sunny, I love.
Yeah.
Silver. And Zen.
Zen. People must do that for attention, because there's no way you would actually think that those names are nice.
And what about if you called your daughter Oti Pepper?
Oh, it is tragic. I feel like I was really lucky because I went from Fry, which is just like horrible, to White. So like, I feel like my name before, Jess Fry, which, let me tell you a funny story. Because I've got a slight lisp, when I first started my job, someone asked me for my name once. So I said, my name is Jess Fry. They said, Jeff Sarai? Jeff Sarai. Do I sound like a fucking Jeff Sarai? Sarai, is that even a fucking word? Do I sound like a Jeff? Do I really? So because of my lisp, I then stopped calling myself Jess and had to call myself Jessica, because I just thought, I cannot ever be called Jeff Sarai again.
But then I feel like a bit of a hypocrite, because I think I do quite like unusual names.
I was going to say, you're definitely the type, like, I am so basic. My kids are called George and Ella. I remember the last time we spoke about this, your name was Honey.
I really like the name Honey.
I remember you said to me when we were talking about girls' names, I just really don't want you to use the name that I like. And I went, well, what is it? And you said, Honey. I went, we don't have any problems about me using that name. Confessions.
This one has obviously come in because of our chat last week about tampons. Yes. So if you have a tampon story, send them in. But also, if you missed last week's episode, go back and listen, because we had some funny tampon stories then.
Hi, Holly and Jess. Loved last week's episode, and I have a funny story for you regarding your conversations on tampons. Basically, in Freshers, I got with this guy, and we went back to my house and ended up doing the deed. But I forgot I was on my period and had a tampon in. I thought he had a really big willy, but it was just the tampon inside of me as well. Oh my
tampon
god.
Tampon was doing all the hard work. Basically an extender.
He said, it's fine, just leave it in till the morning. Oh, he's obviously never heard of toxic shock syndrome, has he?
Honestly, typical man.
Oh, God. So I went to the bathroom to try and get it out, but it was literally goners. Stupidly, I did leave it in till the morning, and I had to get my friend and her ex-boyfriend to drive me to A&E, and I was sat in there for hours. This guy was chatting to me and asked me what I was in for. I didn't tell him. I went to the toilet to try and get it out multiple times and it didn't work. When I finally got seen, the poor nurse had to open me up, and she said she couldn't see or feel anything and asked me if I was sure it was in there. I then told her how it happened, and she said, oh, okay, and got some long pliers out and found it straight away. I was so apologetic and embarrassed, but luckily she was so lovely.
That's the kind of customer service that we expect from our NHS workers, okay?
I love how the nurse was like, Oh, okay. And went and got the pliers out.
She probably thought, for once, we've got someone who's being honest about what's happened, because usually they have people that fall on cucumbers and they go up their arse and stuff like that. That's another thing. If anyone's got any funny medical stories, please send them in. Like, if you're a healthcare worker and you have seen or some funny A&E or healthcare stories, we want to hear them, because we'll obviously keep you anonymous, but honestly, I just find them to be the funniest things.
Oh my God, yeah. That actually made me laugh so much that she thought he had a really big dick, but it was just a tampon. That's killed me off.
Give a shout out to Tampax here, because they're doing God's work.
If you want to sponsor us, Tampax, we will take it.
So that is it for this week's podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you have got any confessions, questions, or funny and embarrassing stories you would like to share with us, we want to hear from you. So contact us at twokidsandabestfriend@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at twokidsandabestfriend.
Don't forget to rate us 5-star on Spotify. Spotify? That's my lisp.
All right, Jeff Spry.
And tell your mates.